Concussions are one of the most serious risks to our young athletes. Whether the athlete plays football, soccer, or any other high-impact sport, education is crucial for reducing the injury and understanding treatment options. Let's talk with Dr. Paul Cohen, a clinical neuropsychologist and concussion specialist with the WakeMed Concussion Program. This is WakeMed Voices, the podcast from WakeMed Health and Hospitals. I'm Prakash Chandran. So Dr. Cohen, what exactly is a concussion?
I mean, first of all, it's a brain injury, right? And we want to always keep that in mind and make sure to give it the respect that it deserves. But what's really happening is that the brain moves around inside the skull. So concussion comes from a Latin word, which basically means to shake. And because that's what the brain does, it just shakes around inside the skull. And when it does that, it sets off a number of chemical changes, and the result is that your brain basically just doesn't get as much energy as it needs. So the problem is it kind of creates this energy crisis. At its most basic level, that's a concussion. It's an energy problem. And so what happens is the brain tries to compensate and essentially take energy from different places, and that's where our symptoms come from.
Okay, I got it. So what's interesting is, you know, I've definitely hit my head before. I've done it, you know, playing soccer, and sometimes I'll have a mild headache. But how do I know when it's an actual concussion? Like, what are the signs and symptoms that you're talking about?
Sure. So, I mean, first you want to look for the most serious and the most obvious things: loss of consciousness, forgetfulness, post-traumatic amnesia. So forgetting the event, forgetting what's going on, confusion, slurring speech, things like that. I mean, anything like that, you want to go straight to the ER and get checked out, maybe get a CT scan, whatever. Aside from that, concussion symptoms, they really fall into like four categories. So the first one's physical, pretty obvious: headache, dizzy, nauseous, light noise sensitive. Number two would be cognitive symptoms, which are a little tougher to, I mean, you can't measure them so as well, and certainly can't see them. Things like problems with memory, difficulty concentrating, feeling kind of foggy, a little slower, a little detached from yourself. Number three is sleep, and really anything that can go wrong with sleep, whether you're sleeping too much, not sleeping enough, can't fall asleep, whatever, that can be attributed to concussion. And then number four is emotional. So sad, mad, worried, irritable, all of those things. So physical, cognitive, sleep, and emotional. And the research, a headache's definitely the most common, but an interesting research finding is that dizziness on field is actually the symptom most predictive of a longer recovery time. And there's a couple hypotheses for that. So those are what you want to look for either in yourself or, you know, if you have a student athlete. And keeping in mind that, number one, kids, especially adolescents to an extent, might have a harder time verbalizing some of these things. But number two, when you're working with this athletic population, there's definitely going to be a motivation to minimize symptoms. But know that when you get to see a concussion clinic, we're able to kind of see through that a little bit and test for those things.
Yeah, it seems like there's so many different factors at play here. First of all, if you're the student athlete, you know, you don't want to make it seem like anything is wrong with you. And then even societally, you know, there was that concussion movie that I'm trying to like kind of minimize the risks and the effects of a concussion. I can see that being an issue. So let's say I am a parent and my student suffers an injury I think might be a concussion. When I bring my child to you, tell me how you diagnose that as a concussion.
Yeah, so we like to see folks pretty quickly within, you know, a couple days of injury if we can get them in, just try to get them on the right path. So you come into the office and our eval, in keeping with the, you know, the most recent guidelines, there's three components to it. So one is a very detailed clinical interview. And that's basically just getting the ins and outs of what happened, what were the symptoms you felt right away, what's been going on ever since then. And as part of that, it's not really just like, do you have a headache? Yes or no? Because that doesn't tell me a lot. I really want to know, when is that headache occurring? How bad is it? What makes it worse? What part of your head is it? All of the ins and outs and the intricacies of that symptom. Because, I mean, from my perspective, there's going to be a big difference between an athlete who gets a headache every morning when they wake up or an athlete who gets a headache after 25 minutes of reading or using their phone. So getting to the bottom of all of the details surrounding the symptoms is going to be the first part of that. And the second part of the interview is really getting to know that person as an individual, especially in terms of what do they bring to the table. So there's certain things, there's certain risk factors that we know might put someone at risk for a longer recovery. And so what we want to do is get a sense of who was this person before they hit their head? And what's that going to tell us? How's that going to inform what their recovery and what their treatment plan should look like? So that's part one. That's the interview. Two is a very brief vestibular ocular motor screening. And what that is, it's a system in the brain, kind of coordinates your head and eye movements, motion, balance, all of that. And very commonly impacted after concussion. And there's vestibular therapists that can treat it. So I would never claim to do it. I just do a screening to let myself know, does this person need a higher level of care for that? And then the third part is cognitive testing. So that's going to look at things like memory, processing speed, attention, all motor skills, all of that. And that's going to be really helpful helping our, whether it's a student athlete making a return to school plan, or if it's someone older, making a return to work plan, all of that. So what we do is I take all those three pieces of data and figure out kind of where is that the energy breakdown I referenced earlier, where's the energy breakdown happening? Because one thing we know is that no two concussions are alike. I mean, one thing I like to say is like, there's, I don't know, probably 30 different kinds of knee injuries. So why would we expect there to just be one type of concussion? And what we try to do is look under every rock, get a sense of where is that breakdown happening, and then we can put everything together and create an individual treatment plan for that athlete.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense that there are so many different types of concussions. I wanted to dig a little bit deeper into the second screening option. You said it was a vestibular. I don't actually know what that means.
So vestibular is that's the system in the brain that coordinates your head and eye movements and your balance. The simplest way I think of it is, it's the way you move around the world. So the way literally that you move, and then the way you perceive the world moving around you. So someone who's sitting in a car, looking out the window, watching the world go by, normally that's fine. You feel fine. But if you have a vestibular problem, that simple activity is going to make you feel terrible. You're going to feel dizzy, nauseous, foggy, a lot of different symptoms. And who needs their vestibular systems the most? Athletes do. Because if you're on a football field, you're watching 11 different guys on your team and 11 different guys on the other run around the field. You're trying to keep track of the ball. You know, your coach is on the sideline. You're watching so many different moving pieces. You've got all the lights around the field in the stadium. You've got the noise. And trying to keep all that straight when there's a vestibular deficit is extremely, extremely challenging and really makes people feel terrible, honestly.
So let's say after they've gone through these three screening options and you've diagnosed and narrowed in on the type of concussion it is, talk to us a little bit about the standard treatments that you utilize to diagnose and treat that concussion.
Yeah, absolutely. So since there's multiple types of concussion, we know now that there's certainly not a one-size-fits-all treatment. It's going to be super individualized. And treatment, it used to be probably what you've heard in the past, you know, sit in a dark room, wait it out, don't do anything, brain rest, quote unquote, which is a term that I'm not crazy about. And we now know that that approach can actually do more harm than good, unfortunately. So now the way we approach the injury, it's a much more active approach. And what we want to do is try to get that athlete to really take control of their recovery and really try to attack their symptoms more so than let their symptoms attack them. So the latest CDC guidelines came out, I think maybe Labor Day-ish, so a little less than a year ago. And what they recommended is what many of us have been saying for years, and it's that if you get an injury, all right, 2 to 3 days, you need to rest more than normal, that's fine. But after that, it's actually about getting back into your normal routine, starting to do your normal activities, even if not at full strength. So keeping a regulated schedule, regulated sleep schedule, staying well hydrated, keeping an appetite, even exercise has actually been shown to have a very significant positive impact on concussion recovery. So starting with that, but then once you get into a clinic like ours, we can dig a little deeper and the treatment might include physical therapy. It might include an eye doctor. It might include medicines for either, you know, the headache or any other symptoms that you're getting. Type might include more cognitive testing, counseling. There's a ton of different tools, honestly, at our disposal. So it's a matter of making sure we hit that right target. So the good thing about it, it's a team approach, because you've got neuropsych like me, you've got medicine, you've got physical therapies, you've got a whole team of people backing you in this corner. And all of us are working together to get that athlete back as safely as they can. And along the way, it's not so much the treatment itself, but one thing we pride ourselves on is kind of, not only are we going to tell the athlete the treatment plan, but we're going to obviously tell their parents, especially if they're under 18, but we're going to call their coach. We're going to call their athletic trainer. We're going to let everyone on board and make sure every single person working with that athlete is on the same page so that we can get them back as safely, as quickly as they can.
Yeah, and that seems like really something that the WakeMed concussion program separates itself from other programs and how it's evolved. You know, it seems like before, like you said, it was kind of diagnosed to be, oh, you know, the way to treat this is maybe a little bit of brain rest. But it seems like you take a very proactive approach. There are many disciplines that go into treating and assessing a good plan to the fastest recovery, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the science has developed so much. Just even thinking 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and the way this injury was approached is so different, because, you know, there's so much more awareness of the injury now. If you're a sports fan, you can't turn on ESPN or a football game without them talking about concussions. The movie, like you mentioned, and all those things, as someone who does concussion work all day, every day, I think they're great, but the increased awareness has its limitations. And when people don't understand what this injury is really doing and how to approach it, it almost creates like a sense of helplessness and a hysteria, because it can be a really scary injury if you don't know how to manage it. And so my goal and our goal here at WakeMed is really just, let's get the message out and let's really try to help people understand that this is not a life-changing injury. It's terrible when you're going through it, but it's manageable and it's very treatable.
Yeah, and what I'm hearing is the best thing to do is to really be proactive. So if you're a parent of a young athlete that has potentially suffered a concussion, it's better to err on the side of safety. And Dr. Cohen, I'd love to know if you have any last advice for these parents, you know, with their kids in sports.
Definitely. So the first one is what you just said. We got to err on the side of safety. So when in doubt, sit it out. You know, we've got one brain, we're not getting another, so we got to take care of it. And there was a study a couple of years ago that said, it looked at athletes who didn't get out of play, basically, after they got a concussion. And all it took was 15 more minutes of staying in the game, and it essentially doubled their recovery time. So, you know, that 15 minutes when you're in the heat of the game might not seem like much, but when you miss the next several weeks of your season, it's probably a decision you might regret. And that number two, it's kind of what I said before, is this is a very treatable injury. You could argue, like I said, with the science developing, that there's never been a safer time to get a concussion. You know, I went into this field because I love sports and I love working with athletes. And so I understand, kind of like you and I alluded to before, the sports culture of not wanting to show weakness and being scared of losing your starting spot and all of that. And the one promise that I make to every athlete I work with is, I'm going to get you back to sports as soon as we can, as soon as it's safe. Like, I'm not going to keep you out of sports 1 minute longer than you need to be out, but I'm not going to put you back 1 minute sooner than you can do it, than you can safely get back. So that's the main message, is this is a very treatable injury. This is a very manageable injury, but you've got to do it right. And before I came here, I was able to work with some of the most elite athletes in the world, from NFL all-stars to Olympians to NHL superstars. And taking that approach, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about the injury. I learned a lot about the sports culture. And I just can't emphasize how excited I am to bring that here down to WakeMed and just the greater Raleigh community as well.
Well, we truly appreciate it and so glad that you're a part of the WakeMed concussion program. That's Dr. Paul Cohen, a clinical neuropsychologist and concussion specialist with the WakeMed concussion program. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of WakeMed Voices. For more information about how the WakeMed concussion program can help your teen recover from a concussion, call 919-350-7331 or visit wakemed.org/concussion. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels. That really helps us out. And be sure to check the entire podcast library for topics of interest to you.
This is Prakash Chandran with WakeMed Voices, brought to you by WakeMed Health and Hospitals in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.